I guess in a sense I'm stepping out in faith this morning because I had a sermon prepared on Wednesday and I was good to go. And Saturday morning at 5 I woke up and God was speaking to me and I went, oh really? And there was just such a conviction to preach the sermon that I will be preaching this morning. And I had to obey and get up and prepare what the Lord actually was stirring in my heart. And I trust that it's gonna stir each one of us and that we will encounter Jesus. So I want to just read Psalm 23. But before I do that, let's just pray. But I want us just to take a moment. I want you just to close your eyes. And I want you just to, if there's anything that's on your mind right now, if it's a concern, if it's, I don't know. Just bring it to the Lord. I just want you to lay everything at His feet this morning. Just, you know, I'm not saying clear your mind, but clear your mind of the stuff that's concerning you. The stuff that's bugging you. Maybe you're even excited about something. Just put that at His feet this morning. So, Father, we come before Your throne. And we recognize You as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Holy Spirit, we thank You that we can be in Your presence. And we can be in the presence of Almighty God this morning. Holy Spirit, thank You that You will have Your way in each one of our hearts this morning. We give You thanks. We worship You. We surrender completely, fully, and utterly to You this morning. We come and we bring our lives, Father, and we just put it before Your throne. And we say, Father, have Your way in our lives. Thank You for Your anointing in this place. Thank You for Your presence. God, may Your name be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. So Psalm 23, you all know Psalm 23, and you've probably read Psalm 23 a couple of times, and you know, if you've even meditated and spent time on it, but Psalm 23 goes like this: the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, just that portion always is such a blessing to me, because I take solace, I take comfort, I am so confident in the fact that when the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It doesn't say I maybe won't want, you know. It doesn't even say I will not want. It's a shall. It's a very strong declaration. And if you look at David's life again, regardless of everything that he's faced, we see that he didn't want. And this, for me personally, that sentence, that short little, I shall not want, gives me so much security, blesses me so much, roots me in the Lord, that He is the source of everything that I need. And then He continues, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. What an amazing thing. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. And I love that, where, you know, when the Lord is my shepherd, He leads me in this path of righteousness, in the way that I need to walk before Him. In this journey, which all of us are trying to figure out in God's presence, He is leading me in those paths of righteousness, because He's my shepherd. I mean, green pastures and all that's amazing. But I believe in today's day, we need that walking in righteousness and God just leading us in that. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. And then He goes, You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, I've said this before in a sermon long ago. When I read that, I have that picture where, you know, where He's sitting at that table reclining, you know, He's got grapes in His hand. He's just having this awesome time in God's presence. And His enemies are standing there, fully clothed in battle gear, you know, growling at Him, wanting to take Him out. They're ready to kill Him, everything. And they're just standing. And God goes, just watch how He sits at my table. You can do nothing. And I love that. You know, he doesn't prepare a table for me in secret. They have to watch. The devil has to stand there and watch me eat. Yes. I love it. Okay, it's only me that love that. Thank you. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. What an awesome place to be. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Not part of them. And it shall follow me. It's not a maybe. It's pursuing me. It's chasing me. I have to go, starig nou. It's like when you, have you ever been chased by a dog on your bicycle? I tell you, if I've ever had superpowers. It was, when we grew up, we had to cycle to school and we went up the road, left bend again. When you came around that left bend, there was a house with a normal, ordinary draught fence, you know, that wire fencing. And a stupid, raggedy wire gate. Manetsu monstrosity of a dog. I mean, a huge thing. Teeth, you know, dinosaur-sized teeth. And I remember every morning, because there was no grace, your parents go like, nee, nee, kom, jy moet nou skool toe. You know, just take your bicycle and go. And I'm like, we're not doing this. And I remember every morning coming around that second bend. I mean, I don't know. But stuff kicks in. I've got my eagle eyes because I'm scanning the fence for where that dog is. And I don't know, he also had superpowers because he used to manifest just somewhere out of that thing. But when he manifests, I manifest. And then my bicycle, then I could sit on my seat with my feet up here. So that he can catch me. And I sort of have that picture when surely goodness and mercy is pursuing me. It's following me. It's like, come on. Only I'm not afraid. I'm enjoying this. And I love this picture that David is painting here. Is that God is so awesome. And because he's so awesome, there's this huge blessing that's pursuing me. But I think sometimes we become so aware of all the bad stuff. That we focus on all the wrong stuff. And this is for me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life until I go, for the last time, shall follow me. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. Not. And I'm looking forward to that. Where I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm going to go on pension there. I'm going to make my house there. He cannot get rid of me because I'm going to dwell there. And I'm going to have fun with my Father forever. Sure. Okay. You know, makes you think, okay, here, ek is reg. Upload me. But this morning, I've got two things on this table here. Now, for the people coming from traditional churches, this is not a nogmal. All right? This is not nogmal, but what is the similarities between this cup, this mug? For those that can't see, I've got this boykie on here. And I've got this powerful man. This little imp helps me out a lot. But what is the similarities between these two? Just think about it. What for you is the similarities between the two of these? Both of them were actually made with a purpose. Both of them have a function which they were created for and made. Both of them, as they stand here, have amazing potential. But when we look at them, we see a light bulb and a cup. But they stand here and they actually have incredible potential. But both of them means very little without the source and without the content. As they stand here, this thing actually does nothing. This boyki here has got a lot of nothingness in it. Watch. Okay, just checking. Kom flinch julle so. But when dis was dit gebeur as jy voorsit. When you change things up. See, I didn't go small. I decided for, you know, if we're going to wet the people here this morning, we're going big. When I do this, their purpose becomes a bit more clearer. Suddenly we see, oh, maybe something can happen. You know, I can even take this boyki and put it in there. Is it useful? Last night, if this was what was happening, well, this was what was happening. Lord is shedding. Then that bulb means nothing. As long as this cup stands, I can put it right next to this water jug. And nothing changes. But when you turn on something. Now, like I say, this little light bulb. I love this light bulb. This boyki has helped me out. You see, because I'm now going slowly blind or something. I'm not sure. But I can't see here that good anymore. And when the light is low. So I like tinkering in my garage, fixing stuff, doing stuff. And I cannot tell you how many times I'm busy trying to do something. And I can say, my blik immer, where is the light bulb? But this light is in my bed lamp next to my bed, so I have to go pause everything and go fetch this boyki because I need his help. I need the potential, I need the function, I need the design of this thing, and as long as I don't have the source, nothing happens. You see, without this power and without this in this jug, they are just ornaments. And I remember how many of you maybe had your grandma's house where they had that old glass cabinet, and there's a lot of stuff with potential in there. Little cars with amazing potential used to live in that cupboard, and you can't touch them. No, James? Opa used to have this amazing, you know, collector stuff that had amazing, entertaining potential, and they could just stand. They could do nothing. Now, obviously, as I say, if we change things up, I'm not going to pour this just yet. Later. Things changes. Like I say, when I switch this thing on in the garage, I can suddenly do stuff that I couldn't do. I can see stuff. I can see detail. I can drill the smallest hole because I've got my glasses on and I've got light. Sometimes I've got glasses on because the lighting is low, I cannot do anything. 2 Timothy 2 verse 20 to 21 says the following. Now, in a house, there is not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. So here we see this picture of in this house, there's these vessels that are standing there. Some are gold, some are silver, some are wood and clay, but they are all in the same house.
But it's interesting that the writer doesn't just go there and say, you know, put something in the vessels. He focuses on something, because who of you know if something has stood on your mantelpiece or wherever, even sometimes our cupboards, you know, when you want to use it again, there's dust in there. You know, you pour yourself a lacquer glass of water, and as you go, whoop, there's a dead fly smiling at you, and you go like, whoa. So there's almost that sense here that when you take these vessels, just clean them up. Just take away the stuff that is going to hinder the usefulness of this vessel. But it doesn't change the fact that this vessel is in this house and is meant for something. It just needs a cleaning. And I even believe the Holy Spirit, maybe He wants to come in your life this morning and just do some cleaning. Maybe there's some distractions, things that have caused you to focus on other stuff. Maybe you just need the cleaning. Maybe you've got the fly in the ointment and you just need to have that removed. Because the reality here, saints, and sometimes this is not due to our own fault, but it's the enemy consistently wanting to steal, kill, and destroy every life. If he can get us to back off, if he can make us ineffective for the kingdom, he wins. He at least frustrates a lot of the purposes of the kingdom by just making us passive or making us scared to do something, you know, or our confidence is maybe in nowhere. And we're thinking, you know, where's the door? Because I'm scared to do what I know I need to do. But if he cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use. And I believe God wants to just move in our hearts and cleanse us and clean us so that we can be used for honorable use, for his glory, for his name's sake. And the reality is, in this church and in every church, there are vessels of gold and silver, but there are also vessels of wood and clay. I'll show you. I've got this one. Okay, I'll hold it up first. This is a lady version. this one is clay at least. This plastic. Okay, I've got this one. Which is quite a, I don't know, what's the onion? Okay, this one. And I've got the big mouth. And similar to what we have on the table here this morning, we have different vessels here this morning. Different functions, different stuff. And you can do, I guess most of them is more or less the same. It's funny how we sort of have the same of one thing in this church. I must maybe get some other pots and stuff in here. But in your house even, there are stuff that are meant for a different purpose. And it's the same with us here as we sit here this morning. But if we are not used, if we are not connected to the source, we mean very little. The function for which we have been created actually is just dormant. They say one of the most incredible places where potential is in high demand or high availability is the graveyard. Because there are so many people that are lying there that never fulfilled their purpose, that never did what they were created for, that died without fulfilling what they were called for. And as we sit here this morning, we are called for great things. You know, it's like when you have, you know, you can take a little glass bottle, yeah, and you can go and buy the glass bottle for, let's say, 15 rand. It's an expensive little glass bottle, but our glass is expensive. So you buy that little glass bottle for 15 rand, and you go like, wow, I've got a 15 rand glass bottle. But you take some of that, and you put DKNY in it. Do you know what DKNY is? It's a very expensive perfume. I did not know this. So my sister, a couple of years ago, gives me a nice bottle of DKNY, and I went, it's junk here, man. It's cheap stuff. And we were walking in Edgar's the one day and past the shelf with all the stuff, and I saw what a bottle of DKNY, and I used that stinky stuff just because it was expensive. Suddenly I realized this must be good stuff. But the reality is that the value of the glass changes because I've put something in there that has incredible potential and purpose and does something different. So I've got a couple of vessels here that are meant for, like I said, most of them are sort of similar use, but I'm gonna change their purpose, their usefulness this morning. Can you help me quickly? All right, so let's give them some energate. All right, so choose one. Who's gonna be the Energizer Bunny? Okay, so this is what most of your kids are, just by the way. All right, so goeien. So suddenly, this glass now has a different potential. Suddenly things, okay, that's genoeg. Cheers. Proe, this is zero. Right. Berry juice. Okay, so we've got that one. Right. All right, so we've got another one now. Pastor with a Leatherman, eh? Don't cut the birthday girl's fingers off. Choose one. Gooi net so bietjie, ja. Gooi. Right. I might go all funny on you if I taste that one. Eh? All right, so nog ene. Right, so daar's daai ene. Which one? This one. All right. Okay, the sweet one. I'll taste this one. Right, well, we have that one. Okay, what nog? Let's make that one the aromat. I'm going to take that one away. I'm going to bring this one up. Because this one is a good one. So, now we have 5 different containers here. They are meant to hold something. Yet now, they all fulfill a different purpose. You see, because I've got the aromat, and you know these people. They bring flavor, you know, spice in your life. Aroma. You know, when you meet them, you just want to braai. No? So these are like people. Then you have the Energizer Bunny. We don't need them. Because they always want to do stuff. And sometimes we want to do nothing. But we need them. Because suddenly they bring a whole different vibe into the room. When they walk into a room, the party starts. Huh? And then you have the sierknol. I mean, sorry. The salt person. I can sometimes fulfill this purpose where you are too much salt. Where you can always tell people what's wrong. But the amazing thing about the salt people is that it brings healing. It cleans. We don't like them necessarily, but they are awesome. All right? Then we have the big mouth, the sweet guy. And girls, Mariette, this one sweet person. We've got a few. And Debbie, and Ma, nah? The sweet people. Well, you saw. So all the sweet people, when we have gatherings, they make us. I'm not just talking about baking, but when you meet them, suddenly there's some sugar in your life. Things become a bit interesting. And then we have this simple guy who holds a very simple thing. But this simple thing that they hold gives so much life. It can quench a thirst. It can water a plant. It refreshes you. Whatever. This does incredible things. But you see, each one of these things, if they are empty, they do nothing. They are a nice thing on a mantelpiece. So now, the pastor is going to make a mess. So if we have this cup with all this potential, I mean, even if you look at this now, there's not much in here. It's a very little bit. But when I come and I take some of the refreshing stuff and I pour it into this boyki and I fill it up and I fill it up and I fill it up, what happens? It spills over. Now, if I take Mr. Refreshing, what happens? Is that cup now influenced by this cup? And if I take Mr. Sugar and Mr. Saltiness, who needs a bit of spice, and I put them all around them and I just pour, and this table is cute. Then things change, the dynamic changes. You see, when I fill this one up, those that are near him immediately becomes affected by the potential, by that which this one carries. Philippians 2, verse 4 to 7, says this, starts off strong. He says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. So we read it, do some things without grumbling and disputing. The other things are okay to grumble about and to fight about. He says, do all things without grumbling and disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. So we are encouraged to walk through this life, to live this life in such a way that we are not grumbling and fighting about stuff. So that we may be blameless in this earth. Among whom you shine as a light. Bing! So we are in this crooked and twisted generation. Our purpose is to shine as a light in this world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be found, may be proud that you did not run in vain or labor in vain, that I did not run or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. And I know we've read this where Paul makes the statement that he's being poured out as a drink offering, where he's being poured out for the faith of others. I just want to do this. And they speak his Kiev. And I believe this is God's desire for each one of us. That is why we are filled up. That is when the Holy Spirit comes, we are meant to overflow. We are meant to touch other people's lives. You see, because what in this is in this cup actually matters. And even if it's empty, it matters. So what is in you, what God has placed in you, matters. The reality is, I cannot pour from an empty cup.
I cannot pour from an empty cup. I need something inside. And all the enemy wants to do is make sure that you're an empty cup. And he will tell you that you are an empty cup. You've got nothing to give. You are useless. You're not worth anything. In the church, you mean nothing. In your family, you mean nothing. But I tell you, when you get some stuff in you, when you allow God to fill you, and then He brings His Holy Spirit and He pours that in you, it matters. You see, because the spice here suddenly changes everything. Now, if I do this, and this overflows, if we do this in our lives and it overflows, then so many lives will be touched and changed. Maybe this morning you're sitting here and your cup is half. Your cup is empty. Maybe you're not sure what your cup is. I believe God this morning wants to touch you, transform you, fill your cup so that you can pour, so that you can shine as a light in this world, so that those that cannot see can see. Have you ever been in a dark room and someone switched on the light? Everybody goes. So the light is a problem at first, because you can't see. But once you look at this thing, all you see is lights. I see little light bulbs everywhere, because the light has affected me. And God is calling us to do the same. When He puts His Holy Spirit in us, incredible stuff happens. Now, I want the band to come up this morning. And this morning, while they're coming up, I want to say to you that the purpose of this morning, okay, so the purpose of this morning is not a set list. The purpose of this morning's worship is not just to get through the songs. We want to encounter Jesus. Now, I said I'm going to put you on the spot. Now, can you play drums? Show us, please. Just show us how you play drums, I believe. Not too shabby, right? I can do better, but I'm not going to show him right now. I'm lying. All right, now I want you to do something different. I want you to close your eyes quickly. So what I want you to do now, I want you to play me a piece like you're sitting in front of Jesus. And I want you to play Him a piece. Carry on doing that. You could have carried on, but what changed? What changed between? Did you hear the difference between the first and the second one? There is a difference when we respond
from skill or tradition or the way we do stuff, where we actually get to a place where we're worshiping Him. Then it's not about performance. It's not about the song. It's not about anything. And I want to say to you, Saints, church is not about anything except Jesus. We don't gather here because of tradition. And I want to encourage you that you come here to worship Jesus. And what we're going to trust God this morning, as the band is going to lead us, I'm going to trust God to fill your cup. To fill you up. That you will overflow. That your life will start touching those around you. As we are filled up, I can tell you, your life will affect everybody here. In your small group, in your wherever you are, God wants to use you to impact others. We are not called to isolate.
Amen.
We are not called to be away from people. Amen. We are designed by the Creator God to be in fellowship. But I trust in God that our cups will be filled. Now, we're going to worship. I don't know what it's going to look like, because we want to create real opportunities for you to encounter Jesus. And I want to say before we worship, if you need prayer, if you want to just come and kneel, if you don't want prayer, just tell us, don't pray for me. If you just want to come, wherever you are, if you want to lie on the floor there where you are, do what you have to do to connect with Jesus Christ this morning and nothing else. You see, the band is not here to perform for us this morning. The band is going to do what Heinrich just did. They're going to take the song list that they've prepared and they're going to worship Jesus, and that's it. And we're going to join them.